Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out, trying to rally, trying to push through when they're maybe a little under the weather for unknown reasons.
That's beautiful. You know the podcast is going to be great when you start with, we're trying to push through. We're trying to make it.
Isn't that what we're all trying to do, though? I mean, really, on any day-to-day basis, you know, like, I feel like I could very easily just take this into, like, a suicide cult monologue here in a second. But anyway, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of just trying to push through? Buy these Nikes and join us on the spaceship ride, everybody.
Buy these Nikes and say the motto that nothing that you do matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. It's very uplifting comedy advice podcast. Matt and Dwight Just Might. Matt is feeling a little bit under the weather. It sounds like he has a bug. I was dealing with something similar last week, so hopefully this doesn't linger too much for my man. Did you have shows when you were feeling this way?
Dude, I just started feeling this way today. So luckily, I had shows all weekend and I had to teach class yesterday. There was someone in my class who was sick.
Yeah.
I stayed away from them the whole time and they had a mask on most of the time.
Okay.
Now I'm wondering if I didn't maybe get a little buggage from them. I don't know.
Teaching these damn kids, Matt. I told you.
It wasn't even like one of the students. It was someone who works at the facility too.
Okay.
And so yeah. Yeah. You know, they are fully gainfully employed and have health insurance. So good for them. And now I have their full strength health insurance cold. I mean, how strong is this cold if someone with health insurance had it and now I got it? I mean,
come on. Through a mask and everything.
I know. Yep.
That's impressive. Now, how sick would you have to be to actually cancel a paying gig?
Oh, barely sick at all. See, I have this thing called a wife with a job. And so, you know, I could be like, I do want to say that this person said that they did test and it was not COVID. And that's so good. I don't think I have COVID or anything. And we'll see. I don't know, man. I have had to cancel when I've been. So basically, if I'm sick enough that like my voice is not there and I got to do an hour and I just know it's not probably going to happen. Or if I've just. Yeah. So if I feel like if I have like the flu or above, then I will, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm a little sick, I'll rally. I'll just napalm it with as much, you know, Theraflu and Tylenol, you know, day and NyQuil mixed up together. I like to blend them together. I like to have a little Tylenol Twilight Quill, you know?
Yes. You take that little tab that has the directions on the bottle and then you set it on fire.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Exactly. Throw it in the trash. Yep. No one needs that.
Yeah.
We're not athletes. I'm not doing a Michael Jordan flu game. To prove a point, this is, I was at the festival where I was not getting paid and I felt like absolute dog shit. And I was like, the people need to see this 8 minutes. Sorry, Atlanta. I got to do this.
They needed to see you in that suit is what they needed. That's what it was. You're like, I packed the suit. Well, in that case, you're already there, you know. And so if I was doing like a weekend run at a club or something like Goonies or something in Rochester Friday, Saturday, and I woke up Saturday feeling rough, well, I'm already here. You know, like we're going to get through it. We're going to do the thing. But to actually, if I had not left my house yet. and I'm running like the slightest of temperature and then I'm like, oh, I can't
do this.
Yeah.
I personally am recovering from I just recovered from the Usher halftime show at the Super Bowl. So I was like, I can't do anything. I am just sick. I was as excited as a middle school girl in 2003 when he came on stage.
Okay.
And oohing and ahhing in front of my family. Like he was on roller skates. I did the Def Comedy Jam, started knocking over furniture. No, he didn't. No, he did not.
So did you not know that he was going to be on roller skates? Had you not heard about his Las Vegas residency show?
No, I did the full thing. No spoilers.
Okay.
I didn't even listen to his new album, which he dropped the week before.
Okay. Yeah.
I treated it like a Marvel Cinematic Universe premiere. Yeah.
No spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see my man. I grew up as an Usher fan.
And yeah. I don't know if it was we were just looking up other things to do. But when Denise and I went to Las Vegas to see U2 at the Sphere, I found out about Usher's show because people were talking about it, his residency, and it was like full blown Starlight Express, which is a lesser known Andrew Lloyd Webber musical where everyone is on roller skates the entire time that I saw in high school. And I thought, is this what Broadway plays are? They're like, they're all rollerball basically, but with singing. So I was like, oh, it's in Vegas. He's gonna adapt the Vegas show he's been doing. So I was already expecting it. I've not actually seen the halftime show. I was producing a comedy show during the Super Bowl, and I just haven't gotten around to looking it up on YouTube yet. So I did see your posts and several other people's posts about his performance, though, and I think I got it.
You know what it is.
It was real horny, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was okay. Super duper. I was watching with my mother-in-law, and he, as one does when you're in your 40s, you take your shirt off to perform at the Super Bowl. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I'm in the right company. Because we were also with our 3-year-old niece, who very audibly, she was like, why is his shirt off?
Okay.
And I was like, we don't talk to me in a decade.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's better than if she were like 10-year-old niece. That would, then it would get me into the uncomfortable, like 3-year-old, they're so young. It's like, okay, they're not looking at this in the same lens of why they don't understand why this is awkward. They just think it's like, why is that singing man on roller skates taking his shirt off?
Right.
Yeah. You know, he's hot. You know, he's out there working. He's working hard.
My God. Yeah. I was like, that's a performer right there. Oh, you know, we talk about some people perform their jokes. My man performs. It wasn't like last year. It was Rihanna, and her special guest was her pregnancy. Baby. So she just stood there the whole time.
I love
Rihanna. And I was like, this is amazing. But there's a different sort of energy and flow.
Yes. Yeah. Hers fully like it hinged on the idea of like how crazy the stages were. They were like the floating multi-level stages. They were like, this is an old school video game reference, but they were like Joust. Do you remember Joust? Where
I don't remember Joust.
Like, this is one of the very first like sort of Atari games. Like, so it was pre-U, you know. But I don't know if you grew pre-U up with like pre-U. It was pre-U existing. No, it's one of the first like home video games like on Atari and everything, but basically it had the same sort of level design where there were these different levels that you would fly up to. And that's what it looked like to me. I should have used a more current reference. She up there on that Super Smash Bros. Screen, you know what I'm saying? Is that better?
But I mean, some people live off of dated references, and I am one of them.
I know, exactly.
I have jokes about 50 Cent, I have jokes about Usher, and anyone born after the year 1997 are like, what the frick are you talking about, dude?
Well, now they'll get your Usher. That's the main reason you're excited, is like, finally these Usher jokes are going to hit again. I can
finally start posting these.
They're going to start hitting again, yeah.
Now, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, we do call this a comedy advice podcast. How do you think we're doing so far in the first 8 minutes?
You know, I think people need to know our full selves. You know, they need to know where we're coming from on a wide variety of topics so that they can really understand where this comedy advice comes from. We're fully fleshed human beings. We're not like open micers that are hashtag grinding, you know, that all they do is go to open mic after open mic after open mic. We have full rich lives. And also, is it Rihanna or Rihanna? Because I always pronounced it Rihanna, and someone corrected me the other day and they were like, it's Rihanna. And I was like, I don't think it is, but no, I just let it slide.
Yeah, that's not a person you want to talk to.
Okay.
That's not a person you need in your life. That's ridiculous. Get out of
it was my wife. So I am wife. Yeah. And she's a huge fan. And I'm like, I didn't want to push it, but I was like, where did you get that pronunciation of it? And
I'll send you a list of songs where Rihanna says her own name. And then that's and the only evidence that you can
casually play them in the background.
Rewinding the part specifically.
No. My thing is, I think that she heard, because, like, have you ever seen this? I don't care. I already said I'm under the weather. Fuck it. If we talk anything about comedy in this entire episode,
we're like the Mr. Miyagi of comedy.
Yes, exactly.
You don't know what's happening until
you have no idea how this is all going to like pay off for your comedy career. No, but my assumption is because Denise does love Rihanna, however you want to say it, and she watches all those the specials she does on streaming that are like fashion shows. What is it? Fetty Savage? Is that her brand?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so I'm like, was there like some weird like British announcer or something on one of those that said the name wrong? And then Denise locked it in her brain like, oh, that's how you say it?
Yeah.
That's my assumption. All right. I'm thank you. I'm send me some songs and I'm just going to.
Yeah, I got you. You know, I just call her Riri.
Cool
like that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and that's island culture too. You know, Riri.
That's
anyway. All right. That's been this episode, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Dwight, you did us a little bit of a tease there. You were down. Now, you were off this weekend, right?
I was off this weekend.
We've already heard about the fantastic time in Atlanta. And so you were off just chilling, pre-gaming, getting ready for your Usher halftime show.
I really was. Yo, last week was great. I am still doing the pages in the morning.
Okay, good.
I did miss a day because, full disclosure, I was hungover. And then the Super Bowl Sunday, was actually able to get up and write a little bit. Felt good. Felt like I got some productive stuff done before spending the day doing Super Bowl activities. If you don't know me, I'm a big football fan. I am completely addicted. It is, the NFL is the worst, one of the worst corporations on the planet, but it has the most addicting product to my brain, and I can't quit it. And I was enthralled yet again. I don't know what you want me to do. People use Amazon, and I'm addicted to the NFL for 18, 19, 20 weeks out of the year.
There is no ethical consumption in a post-capitalistic society, and I think that gives you your pass. You can be into the NFL if you want to, you know? Like, hell yeah, dude.
I appreciate it.
And I like that every time, like, if someone gives you any guff about it, you'd be like, you shopping on Amazon? Now I want to hear about it.
You're shopping at Amazon. I'm watching the NFL on Amazon Prime. I'm doubling
down. You're doubling down. There you go.
Doubling down. No ethics. I'm posting my crowd work clips. I don't have values anymore. I work for the algorithm.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. Well, it sounds like we're definitely getting into talking about comedy now. So
damn it. Well, I did post a clip this week.
How did your clip do? How was the clip?
It was fine. It was Black history. They never do well. They never anything about race from my mouth usually doesn't hit the 200 likes on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of comments. I posted on TikTok and I got 30 likes in the first 90 seconds. I was like, holy shit.
And then it got buried. And then they immediately got buried in the algorithm. And
I
saw it again. Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no answers. I was like, this is the one. This is about to take off.
Mm-hmm.
The Usher one I posted, the 50 Cent Usher one, did okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Did all right. So
I have been just stockpiling sets that I need to sit down and edit and go through and clip up. And I discovered that this is what's healthy for me or manageable for me is to do it in waves. And I know that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be consistently cranking it out. But for my mental health, I have to take a break and step away from it and not be posting all the time and content. And so what I've settled on is I will collect, 8-10 shows worth of, and then sit down, spend a couple of days going through and clipping out crowd work or little throwaway jokes or anything topical, spend a couple of days editing, and then just every day post one of those until I run out of them. But I'm, every comedian listening to this podcast and every comedian that we talk to, we're always in this back and forth struggle of kind of hating it, but having to do it and also not really being able to figure it out. Even people who get, you've had clips go viral and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
No idea why.
And you would think once you have one or two of them go viral, then it's going to start cascading. And sometimes it just doesn't happen like that,
Yeah. I've gotten consistent new followers on Instagram and I've noticed they'll go through and like a bunch of clips.
Okay, that's
good. So hopefully that translates into over time seeing more.
Yeah.
It's just setting these micro goals of trying to get to a certain number of followers. Hopefully that moves the needle to you know, secure bookings and sell tickets. That's the whole gambit of this game, baby. So we'll see. We'll see. But it is the most frustrating process, because you're like, if I could just repeat this, if we could figure it out, everybody would figure out and there would be no need for this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
There would be no need to send booking emails into the void. And
yeah.
But I don't know, how's booking going for you this year? Are you seeing a lot of response? Are you seeing
reaction? My schedule has been decent. I needed to get back on it because, like, you know, I'm just trying to always remain thankful, because I am still in this kind of place now after 15 years of doing it where I can fire a text message off to somebody and get a show, usually, you know, or send an email off to, can, you know, I have a network of people that I've worked for before that know me, trust me, like me, and I can almost always get a weekend at their club, you know, at, you know, sometime in the year, usually, right, or every other year, depending on what the rotation is and what I'm asked for. But my March was pretty open. I didn't have much going on. And I did fill one of those weekends up with a feature weekend, because I have really kind of settled in on what I think my dry bar submission is going to be. I've started running it last weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, I moved away from just trying to get the little 5 to 7 minute, like, clean submission set for festivals and things like that. I got one that's, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. It's right. Pretty good. And we fixed the audio on it and everything. So it's pretty strong. I'm still going to, like, go to the attic on Thursday and do the open mic. And I'm going to do that 7 again to try to just get the perfect version of it.
Right.
Because why not? I'm in town. I might as well go do it. But I'm moving towards working this feature length set that is all clean. And so I did just hit up a club, and I saw one of my open weekends in March. I was like, hey, can I come feature for this person? This is a club that I normally headline. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, we don't have it booked yet. It pays this much. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, because in my head, I wasn't even really worried about the pay. I'm like, right, I need a contained, I walk on stage, do my 25 minutes clean, and walk back off stage set. And so I'm excited. And hopefully I've broken the curse, the taping curse that I've been dealing with. People listening to the podcast know all about the various little technical issues and things that were happening. But so as far as that goes, I'm trying to remain, you know, a positive and happy, and, you know, and I got a somewhat positive response on doing shows in London while I'm there.
Oh, nice.
Which is coming up. And so booking wise, I feel pretty okay about it, but also looking at my calendar, like, you know, it's just like, oh, there's, you know, I got to get back on it, because May is pretty open. April mm-hmm. is pretty open. You know, I've got a couple things here and there, but it's just like, yep, I got bills to pay, and I got, you know, I got weekends that are open that should open. Not be open, you know? Right. And so I'm getting ready to ramp back up on that. This is interesting, because I cannot tell you what I've been doing. I haven't been doing clips. I haven't been working on booking. I don't know what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, man.
Well, we are in the limestone season, so that does happen. Yes, and
I have been doing a lot of limestone work. Yeah.
So, I mean, the first half of the year disappears when it mm-hmm. comes to, like, planning this festival. So it does, you do need separate. I like the idea of structuring things. Like you said, you're going to sit down and batch out editing, because mm-hmm. that's the only way to do these things without going absolutely insane. It's sort of like what we did with the booking challenge last year, where it was like, all right, mm-hmm. just for 10 days, this is what we're going to focus on. And then we see the
results.
We see it pretty quickly, actually, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I think it's something worth revisiting this year as well. And we'll definitely issue that for everyone, all of our listeners as well, to join us in that challenge. But yeah, man, you know, I don't know. We're getting there. I had a full weekend of shows. I told you before we started rolling that I didn't really start feeling like ass until I took a nap today. I've been on the run the last several days, doing a lot of driving, producing shows, teaching a class where I had to lecture for 3 hours, you know, with like a 10-minute break in the middle last night. Yeah. And that's with a, you know, a 3-hour drive, you know, an hour and a half up, hour and a half back. And so I've just been like running. And so today I got up in the morning and I worked on limestone stuff until lunchtime, ate my lunch, and I was like, all right, I'm going to have a little post-lunch nap. Hell yeah, right?
Feeling good.
And then I woke up feeling horrible. But that being said, yeah, I have been actually doing some stuff. I know it feels like I've been just lost in a fog or whatever. But yeah, I've been getting some stuff done. Before I recap my shows this weekend, there are a couple things I wanted to talk about with that and share with you and the audience. Where are you going to be? We always bury these at the very end of the podcast. And let's do it a little bit sooner. Let's plug those shows, my friend. Where are you going to be at this next weekend?
Plug them up. I am plug them up. What? Anyway, I will be in Stevensville, Michigan, Friday, February 16th, and then back in Indianapolis doing a don't tell on the 17th. Also want to announce on February 22nd, I will be at Monic Brewery in Louisville, Kentucky. Very excited about that. It looks like a dope venue, so I'm excited about that. So if you're in any of those places, please come check me out. Oh, almost forgot one. The 21st, in Indianapolis again. That's a Wednesday. I am at Turner's Bar in the Stutz Building doing a Black History showcase. Nice. So nice. If you want to be a good ally and you live in Indianapolis, go to Dwight go to DwightSimmons.com and get those deets.
Okay, nice. All right, on. What I was going to say, Monic Brewing, I think I've done that show. I think it's a great room, if I recall. I've done definitely some sort of brewery show in Louisville one time, and I remember the room was a lot of fun. Very
cool. Pictures look great, and you know me, a beer drinker, so check and check plus. And I'm excited. I didn't get to work on anything new, obviously. I didn't have any shows this past week, so I've got some new stuff that nice. I want to get taped and clipped up. And I think it's ready. So I'm excited to get back to it. What about you?
Right on. This weekend, I will be in La Crosse, Wisconsin on Saturday the 16th at The Main. And then on Saturday the 17th, I'll be at Coral Gables in Saugatuck, Michigan. Yep. Yeah. And then the following weekend, the 22nd and 23rd, I'll be at Laughing Skull in Atlanta, Georgia, one of the best comedy clubs in the country. Just a fun show, fun place. They do it showcase style. It's always, you know, just a murderer's row of comics getting up and doing 10 minutes. And then on Sunday, the 24th, I'm featuring at the High Cotton Comedy Club in Memphis, Tennessee, which is a new monthly there at High Cotton Brewing. So, put on by old Charlie. What is Charlie's last name? I can't remember.
Burgos.
Yes, thank you, Charlie Burgos. Yep. And so that's where I'll be in the next couple of weeks. And of course, you can get tickets for all those at my website, which is MadelanaMartinComedy.com. Every one of those words has a hyphen in between it, except for comedy and common, which there is a dot. But that's enough looking forward. Let's look back, and I will tell you about my shows I had this weekend. I had a lot going on.
Texted me, and you left me on pins and needles. Yeah. So I've been waiting for several days to hear what happened with your weekend.
Well, yeah, I texted you during the Saturday show since we started the podcast, we have tried to avoid texting each other little updates of what's going on. We're like, we'll save it for the podcast. And every once in a blue moon, I think actually last time you were in Michigan is one of the times that you broke that rule and texted me.
Yeah.
When you were at what's that place called?
That place was like, hey, Matt, you're going to be hosting
Brooksville, but not Brooksville. But
yeah. God.
But anyway, so I'll get to that here very shortly. But no, on Friday night, I was at Books and Brews in Brownsburg, Indiana. This is a Danny Browning production, Laughing Dead shows. And he's been getting a little bit more out there. Danny's been producing shows, I think, for a couple of years now, at least, minimal. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he's starting to get a few more rooms. And, you know, this is it's a bookstore / game shop. Like in a strip mall in Brownsburg, right. Like in a nice, new strip mall. And it also has a bar side, a beer side, but it's a one small room, you know? And of course it was the classic thing where last month when we did the show, it's standing room only, and he's sending me pictures or whatever. And you know, it was our good friend, Brent Terhune. And I don't know about, you know, this about me, but I'm not Brent Terhune as far as moving those tickets.
None of us.
Yeah. So there was plenty of available seating at my show, but it was a good time. It was all a good time though. It was a lot of fun. And Thad McKee was on the show, and Thad originally was supposed to host. And then I guess the feature bailed. And so Danny hosted and bumped Thad up to featuring.
Oh, which good. Is
good. Yeah. So, and he did great, and they were a fun crowd. It was a small crowd, but it was a fun crowd. And I have confirmed something that I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast yet. I mentioned it to Denise, I know, and a few other people. But as I've been clipping up videos, and also as I've been previewing the submissions for Limestone, like to make sure the video works, I usually watch like the first 30, 40 seconds or whatever of it. I've noticed that there is a trend now in audiences where some people, instead of laughing, are hissing. They're going, yeah. That's how they're responding to jokes, which traditionally I would get that if I was performing like at a gay club or opening for a gay comic like Aaron Foley or Fortune Feimster, and they didn't like a joke, like instead of groaning like you would at a dad joke or something, they go, as a, come on, you know,
not like a black uncle would laugh where he's like,
yeah, no, it's, there's no laugh aspect to it. It's just literally like a little hiss. And at first I thought I was going insane, that this was like the, this was like some like thing that only I was hearing and I was manufacturing it in my brain. But I've now confirmed it, because at that show, dead set right up front was a table of young 20 somethings. And it was like five of them, and they were great. They were like, but they weren't like super into laughing at the show, but they were smiling and being into things. Mm-hmm. Everyone else around them was, you know, late 30s and up, right? And I visually very clearly could see the difference between how both groups were reacting to jokes. Mm-hmm. And this table of 20 somethings, when they laughed at stuff, most of them did the thing. And I don't know if it's like something from TikTok. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it drives me insane, for one thing. But I've learned to just get over it and accept it. But also, I then saw it happen on Saturday, and then I saw it happen on Sunday when I was just producing a show.
Oh, my goodness.
This is like some weird new way that young people are laughing at jokes as they're just going, "S-."
The re-rise of the Dark Lord is almost complete. Slytherin, right?
Yeah. And not all young people, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, now that I've said it, you're going to probably noticing it. You're probably going to start noticing it.
I know. And it's going to drive me insane. I have noticed like a dip in energy between like, you know, younger audiences. I think we've
talked about this on the podcast where they just don't know how you're supposed to act in a comedy show because they've only watched comedy on their phone on TikTok.
Yeah.
And so when you get them actually at a comedy show, they don't know that you're supposed to be. Either that or they're all so pumped full of SSRIs that they can't actually react, you know?
Not to be like old men talking about young people. Like, we have qualms with every age group.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, last week we talked about older drunk white.
Yes, exactly. Women. Yeah, well-meaning drunk white women of a certain age. Yeah.
So it's just funny to look at how every group, there is like the trend of people that have never been to a comedy show. Mm-hmm. Depending on what age they are, it could be wild. Like, it could be older people that have only watched crowd work clips or heckle clips, and they this is what we're supposed to do,
right?
People that don't know how to be in public yet, because this is like the first thing that they've done,
where
they have to sit and watch uninterrupted.
Well, yeah, so they're uninterrupted, they know that they'll get yelled at if they're on their phones, and then also, yeah, they don't see. I think the thing is, and I'm sure there's, you know, graduate students working on this right now and psychologists studying this. I think that even when they're in a physical space and they are part of a participatory event, like being in a comedy show, that they still they're maintaining a sort of distance and separation from it. And it's not just with comedy. Also, I mean, you know, some of my friends who are in the music industry have said that they've noticed more and more. You know, if a band is sort of like a band of the moment that, you know, isn't, that doesn't have like diehard fans, but they've got maybe a song that's on the radio, right? Or something like that. The audience comes and ignores the band.
What?
Like, so many young people come and they just completely ignore the band until that song is played. But the whole rest of the concert, they're just kind of talking with each other, maybe occasionally checking in on the band. Mm-hmm. They're like Instagramming themselves. It's like more important to document, oh, I'm at this cool concert, than to actually be at the concert and enjoy the concert.
Yeah.
Is a thing that they've already started to notice. And I think, again, also it's part of this generation, Ed, the way that they've been raised on phones to be always separate. Like, whatever they're viewing and that they're taking in, they're not part of it. They're somehow distance from it. I don't know if then again, I'm an old man. This might all be bullshit. I don't know.
This is,
you know, maybe they just don't like my jokes. You know what I'm saying?
It's the culture shift. Do you know, like, so for this specific example, you know, you're like, everyone else is having a good time. You're going to narrowly focus in on
yes
the one table where you're like, they're being great, but they're not doing it the right way.
Exactly.
God damn it, these kids, as I shake my fist at the sky.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, like, they are smiling, and then they are, like, occasionally you would get, and one of them at the table was laughing a little bit in a more traditional way of laughing. And then, and I thought, oh, they weren't feeling me because I'm an old man, right? That's kind of what I was thinking, right? But then one of them came up and just got my Venmo and then tipped me. See? And it was very complimentary. It was like, we love the show, da 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 da. And so it was just that kind of stuff. Like, they didn't buy merch, but she got my scan me Venmo thing and it tipped me like $7.
Let's see.
And I was like, cool, you know, thank you.
An OG laugher do that. Scan exactly. A QR code, know what a Venmo is.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I dug you a set. Can I write you a check? How can I support?
Let me go get some change out of my car. Wait right here.
How can I find out where you're going to play next?
Yeah.
I don't have social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't if only trust there was email.
They turned off my internet, man. Yeah. Anyway, that's something I've noticed. And if anyone out there listening has also noticed this rise of the hiss of the tss, that's what it is. It's like, tss. That's the response. And if you haven't yet, if you're a Canadian, go back and watch your clips. Go watch your tapes of your recent sets and tell me if you don't have a few of these people in the audience doing this shit. The next night we were down in Newburgh, Indiana, Jennings Station. And I've done this room before. Newburgh is right outside of Evansville, Indiana, where I had gone to college and spent a few years post-college and everything. So it's always nice to kind of go back down there. Sold out show. That one was sold out. And when I was texting you, it's like there were a lot of things happening, right? That just seemed like this is going to be a nightmare of a show. Right. And it turned out to be great. It honestly turned out to be great. Like the PA, Danny's PA just stopped working for some reason.
Yeah.
And then all I heard was like, so we're going to have to just use this karaoke speaker. And so I'm like, oh no, this is not great. And again, sold out show, it's still a small room, right? It's not a massive room. You know, like 70 people probably packed into this little space. Like, you know.
Wait, but he announced it to the audience?
No, to me.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Because I got there, he's like trying to fix his PA, and he's like, I don't know what happened. Like, it was something. And he's like, we're going to have to use this wireless mic and this karaoke thing.
That is amazing.
I'm just like, I'm a trooper. Like, I'm already here. I already drove down. Yeah. But it turned out to be fine. It was perfectly enough speaker for the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to blow my voice out. Like the watching the opening comics, they were a little bit more lower energy as far as like projecting and stuff like that.
Right.
Could hear them perfectly fine. It was good. You know, so it was one of those things where it did turn around and be okay.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
That is, nothing stresses me out than like watching. This is what I thought happened. You were watching the show as it was going on, mm-hmm. and then the mic went out. I've done so many of those where they're like, oh, here's a wireless microphone. We definitely didn't check to make sure the batteries were fully charged.
No, of course not.
We just handed you this thing.
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah, that makes me sweaty. So I'm glad that it worked out, because that is the easiest way to lose an audience and never be able to get them back.
Oh, I know. You know, and they paid money and then they can barely hear what you're doing or whatever. You know, yeah, it's a recipe for disaster for sure. But it actually turned out to be okay and everything. And yeah, man, like, you know, there's some other stuff that we're going to, you know, like, I don't know. It's like sometimes you're in a weird headspace. And so I'm texting my boy. And I'm like, talk about this shit. You know? Because I think it was just that where I'm like, oh, great. Now this, and you know, it was one of these things where I tried to go to like a nice, like local restaurant before. I saw it on Google Maps. So, like, it's right down the street, and I got there and there was like zero parking. I don't know how anybody goes to this restaurant. It's like in the historic part of this little town. And like literally the closest parking was like four blocks away. So I was like, fuck that. And I went to Taco Bell and like, because I'm also like just thinking about like timing and how much time I had for the show and everything. I was like, so I'm going to go to park in this public lot four blocks away, walk down to this restaurant. Hopefully I can get in, get my food, go back to the car, drive to the bin. You know, so I'm just like, I'm just going to talk.
He said, fuck it. He hit a jet.
Shout out to the T-Bell. Shout out to the T-Bell. You know?
Your mindset was already like, I don't have the patience.
Bullshit. So, right. And so that I went through all that and then got there and then like walk in to find that the PA is not working. And like, great.
So you did
go to text Dwight.
Two Danny Browning event.
Yeah, back-to-back shows.
You've mentioned he's been booking for a long time, and I've worked with him. I will say Danny does know how to set up a room, but he is a lot before the show. I'm not the guy that wants to, like, chat, have full-blown let's-catch-up conversations before the show. So,
yeah.
I'm also like professional, so I'm trying to be there 15 minutes early at least.
Yeah.
So some bookers are like, I need to talk to you about everything that's happened in the last 2 years. And I'm like, I just ate at a fucking Taco Bell. So let me put my set together.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I want to stay focused. Like, I want to stay focused. I want to watch the show beforehand. And I know what you're saying, but I will say for this time, Danny was not really like that. These two shows.
Yeah, maybe like, I got him when he was going through.
You might have got him when he was all hyped up. When you say when he's going through his divorce, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, he might have.
I was like, I don't want to hear talk about to, this.
And you're
bad.
Like, I don't give a shit about this, man.
I'm that cold. I'm trying to structure the set of bringing Rachel Humer to Lower Kentucky, and you are talking to me about very important stuff that's happened to you.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fine. I mean, it was like, but I did really like that the Jennings Station has like basically this sort of almost secret back hallway thing that I could just pace around with and be completely alone. Like, because that's the same thing. I'm the same way. I don't want, you know, anybody to just come up and chat my ear off, you know, which happens sometimes, you know, like famously, you know, rest in peace. The late Tom Sobel was known for that. He was a promoter. And if you did his shows, you just knew that you had to, part of it was you either had to hide until right before you went on stage, or you were just going to get talked at, not to, just talked at in your ear.
Stories.
The entire time.
Story.
And so you just had to like, well, that's just part of the deal, you know. And so I'm with you. Like, I don't want to hang out. I don't want to talk and chat before the show, you know. Yeah. I'll say hi, you know. Even like, I mean, I love that. That's super fun and, you know, cool. And like, even he and I, we're not chit-chatting during the show, like before the show. We're both watching Danny. We're both like in our heads, like, kind of, all right, what are we going to do? You know, all right. And so anyway, so those were both fun shows that went well. And then on Sunday, I produced the Galentine's Day show at Cardinal Spirits. Always a lovely time. That's the annual all female identifying comedian show. And we had a banger. And this year, I usually would go up and I would just like welcome everybody and just like, hey, you know, here's how the entry slips work. You know, since you're here, you get entered into a chance to win badges from Limestone. And then I would just get out of there. I wouldn't do time or anything.
Right.
But then this year, I was like, I shouldn't even be on stage. Galentine's Day show, there should not be a man on stage. So shout out to Shanda Song, who we shout out a lot on this podcast, but I had her basically do that, host the show, do a long host set up front. You know, I gave her like 15 minutes after she did the rules and introduce. And it's just so nice to have somebody that you can just depend and lean on. It's like, you got this. It's going to be great. But, you know, so I'm just in the back producing, setting up the PA and, you know, tearing it all down and all kind of stuff, which it turns out is pretty, pretty good gig if you can get. If you could just bring in the PA, set it up, hide in the back area, eat really, really delicious food from Cardinal Spirits.
Yeah. And not have to work.
Not have to work. Joke around with the other comics a little bit while we're all eating dinner together.
Now you're the problem.
Break it up. I was the problem.
What do you guys want to talk about?
You guys heard this? You heard this hissing yet? You guys.
While you're up there, pay attention for the hissing.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was a great show and a good time, and I missed the Super Bowl entirely. And then I taught my class last night, the second class of the session up in Carmel, Indiana.
Yeah,
and got a good group.
How's that going? What week are you guys on?
This is the second week.
Yeah, okay. I guess you don't know how it's going until the graduation class, where someone makes a transphobic joke, even though you told them not to.
You start to get a sense as it's going, as they're building their 5-minute set. Like, they did 1 minute of material last night. Yeah. And next week, when they do the 3 minutes of material, will be when we start to see some people showing their colors a little bit. And, you know, it seems like it's a good group, honestly. There was one guy that his opening joke was like, maybe started to like dip a toe a little bit into inappropriateness, but then pulled immediately back out of it. And then the rest of his minute or minute and a half or whatever he did was completely fine. And he even like did a thing that we subverted like a racial stereotype and like as a white guy made it at the white guy's expense and did it in like a good way.
Right.
So it's like, all right, maybe this guy's gonna be okay. But I did comment on the opening of joke. I was like, you know, that opening joke is like you're tiptoeing towards like, this is not going to be okay. And he was like, I see that, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it should be good.
Do you think the comedy mothership in Austin, Joe Rogan's Club, also runs comedy classes? And if yes,
sure they do. Sure they do.
What's the curriculum? It's like an hour long class of why you can say everything.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Man, you know, it's a. I was telling Denise about this last night when I got home from it. She was asking how the class was. And I was like, you know what? We've got one black guy in the class and one openly gay guy in the class. And I think their existence is going to keep everybody else in line. No one's going to do anything that we're like, because if it was just all straight white people,
yeah,
some of them might say something that's out of pocket racially or homophobically. And it's like, nope, your classmate, this person that you're bonding with and you're coming up with.
Yeah.
As you're learning comedy, hopefully you're going to be like, maybe I shouldn't do that joke.
Yeah. That's real life. That's what would happen if you just walked into a comedy club to do an open mic. You'd be like, oh, there's some black people here. Maybe I get rid of my closer where I'd say the N word and run off stage. Oh, don't you miss Cracker's Comedy Club open mics?
Was that somebody's closer? They said the N-word and ran off stage?
Man, I'm not going to name the person because they seem to be doing okay.
Put it in the chats.
But my God, like, it's just common sense for people sometimes is so lacking. But that's what it is called, an open mic. And people are like, I'm going to take this literally. You know that guy? Remember
him? Oh, yes. If that's an old, this is a name, I, you know, if I can quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's a name I've not heard in some time. Yeah, that person does seem to be doing well, but they're doing well in that comedy mothership scene.
Yeah.
Of Edgelord Dipshits. I'm sure they're probably still doing that closers.
Yeah, probably. Except not running in bold.
Yeah, not running. Yeah, just like, you know, getting a standing O or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, if you guys haven't figured this out, we are two liberal cucks, and I wouldn't change it for the world, baby.
No.
It's very funny. I'm glad you're teaching this class. I'm teaching a class in the summer as well, and I am using your syllabus just with a few tweaks, but
send me my 20%, baby. Yeah. Franchise fee.
I will send you the $18 that you are rightfully owed. Doing it for the cause.
I'm glad. I was excited that I saw that you were going to be teaching a class, and I'm honored that you're using the syllabus that I put together. Shanda, the aforementioned Shanda, also took over teaching the class down here in Bloomington, and she did the same thing. She was like, she took the basic structure, but then tweaked it and restructured it and made it her own, which she should, you know, and you definitely should. But yeah, man, I mean, it's like, not to be egotistical, but like I put together a pretty academic stand-up comedy class. Like last night was the big lecture night where I basically have to talk for 3 hours, essentially really getting into like the nuts and bolts of like joke construction and the mechanics of jokes and the psychology of jokes. As I was going through the psychology part, because I've also improved it every single year I've taught it. Mm-hmm. Like my examples are way more concrete, and I'm also like, the language is more clear as far as like making these examples. But as I was getting into the psychology part, I was like, I bet a lot of stand-up comedy classes don't get into this, like why people laugh at things.
Yeah.
Like the psychological idea of like laughing in an agreement with something, or laughing because of the us versus them dynamic that you can create in a joke, you know, all this kind of stuff that, you know, is subtext and subconsciously comics know and audiences know. But to really lay it out, I was like, oh, this is a pretty good class. I they're getting their money's worth. I should increase the fee. I should make it some more expensive class.
You kind of take yourself out of the equation. You see a lot of comedy classes that are marketed as just, here's how this person would write the joke, and they're going to teach you how to write the joke in their voice. And that's just that to me is a waste of money. That's why comedy classes get bad reputation, because they're just like, we're going to teach you how to be funny. And it's like, no, we're going to teach joke construction and why things work from a nut and bolts way.
Performance theory, different way. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of the comedy classes are, and I say this in the beginning, is like, this class is not how to do comedy the Matt Alano Martin way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be an episode of callbacks, because I always think about it. And I sometimes will say this in the class, like Charlie Vergos has this great joke where he talks about Da Vinci when he made the David. Is it Da Vinci who made the David? Who made the statue of the David? I'm going to check this before, because it's important.
Yeah, it's Michelangelo, right?
Michelangelo. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. So Michelangelo once said that he did not create the David. The David was always inside the block of marble. All he did was remove the parts of the marble that were not the David. Mm-hmm. And Charlie has this amazing joke where he takes that to this like nth degree, and how there's like, there's tiny little Davids and everything, you know, it's like there's a tiny little David in the stool, the leg of the stool and stuff like that. But that idea is kind of like the, my original Michelangelo idea is something that I try to convey to the class. Like, all we're doing in this class is whatever's funny about you, we're removing all the stuff around it. We're like revealing your sense of funny, what's funny about you, and by just chipping away at all the stuff that makes a joke bad, like too much, too wordy, you know, you know, saying the N-word, you know, just all those things, you know, no. But like just chipping away at all the stuff that isn't the joke, you know, isn't the funny part of the person. And so that's the way that I think about it. And I mean, I don't know, like the class sells out every time. So I guess we're doing okay. I'm actually teaching an advanced class for the first time in Carmel.
Oh, good.
Later on this year, that's going to be more of a practicum slash inside the actor's studio.
Nice.
And so I might be bringing you in as one of the guests to kind of talk about your process and all that kind of stuff. And don't worry, there is a Taco Bell gift card in it for you if you
can. Oh, we eating chalupas tonight, baby. Cheesy gordita crunch. Here I come. They just put a cantina downtown Indianapolis. So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
This podcast is sponsored by Taco Bell Cantina.
Tonight it is. Yeah. Today it is. Hell yeah. We did get a question of the week, and I want to get to that before we run out of time today. If anyone out there has a question of the week, or if you've experienced the I just realized maybe I've been performing for a lot of ASMR people, and that's how they laugh. Or they're owners of cats, they're cat owners. Anyway, you can email us at the official email address of the podcast, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your questions or feedback on the podcast, and we will give you our take on things. We got a new question this week from a frequent questioner and listener of the podcast, Trent Babb. Trent, thanks for sending in another one. And this is one that is referencing an older episode of the podcast. So this will be good for people that are new to the podcast. I encourage you to go back and listen a little bit. Trent says, a few weeks back, you guys got excited about a listener's comedy goal of writing less personal jokes and more observational. Both of you really perked up at this goal, and I was just curious, do you think the personal approach to comedy is overdone, or are you just ready for have you ever noticed material again? This question has been swirling around my head for weeks now, and I appreciate your insight so I can get a decent night's sleep. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Man, Trent, I'm sorry. You should have wrote earlier. I feel like, you know, we've been keeping you up for weeks. He is referencing, of course, to what Anam Chowdhury had written into the podcast, and they had talked about their goals. It was the, what are the three things you're proud of that you did in 2023, and what are your goals for 2024? And one of the things they were proud of was that they had kind of moved away from very autobiographical material to more observational material, which they thought would be better for connecting with audiences. As a Muslim woman of color in the Middle West.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think our excitement, I want to speak for you, but my excitement was just that she was taking on a new challenge and pushing herself to write in a new way. It wasn't specifically that she was moving away from observational. I would have been just as excited if she or any other comedian had written in and said, you know, I've been doing a lot of observational material. I grew up really loving Seinfeld and, you know, and that was my model, but now I'm ready to start talking about my real life. That was the thing I was excited about, was just a comic pushing themselves and growing and reminding all of us that, yeah, you can switch up. You can get out of that lane that you've been in and try to, you know, write new material. So I'm not over personal related jokes or observational related jokes. I love good jokes, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dwight and I are both a mix, and you know, most comics will mix it up, you know, have some stories from the real life, and then they'll have some stuff that's strictly observational, maybe a political joke here or there, you know, some silly kind of puns or whatever just dropped in. You know, a lot of us work in a lot of the different colors of stand-up, you know, from our palette. And so I'm not tired of personal comedy. Like, to me, if it's like, if that's where some of the realest stuff comes from, so I don't think I'm ever gonna get tired of that, but who knows.
Yeah. I mean, personal, it's my favorite. I think, you know, you nailed it. It's anything you're going to do to push yourself or to try something new, because that is a very scary proposition to like, all right, I'm going to try this new thing for a while to see if I like it, if I'm good at it, and if it helps strengthen what I've already been doing. Like, you can always come back to the personal. It's your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's like when you've been doing this for 15 years and you are now trying to get clean tape, like a clean half hour. That's something that's exciting because it's a different vein. I think it ultimately will make any comic better to step outside of their comfort zone and just see and just try, because, mm-hmm. you know, things can get stagnant. Try to write your life story over and over and over again, but if you don't like have a way to switch lanes, be more versatile, I think your audience, quote unquote, your fans, quote unquote, kind of see the formulaicness of it.
Yes.
At least I do as a stand-up comedy fan. Like mm-hmm. with a comics, like I was like, oh yeah, I see what they're gonna do here because they've done it a bunch.
Yeah, that's, I think, a great note. And it's one of those things where you're just adding it to your arsenal, a different type of joke, different types of jokes, so that you can switch it up. Because, you know, it's like boxing. If an audience gets your rhythm, if they mm-hmm. figure out your rhythm, like, it makes it harder for the punchlines to be surprises.
Yeah.
And if they know, like, okay, we're settling in for another story about how he grew up or whatever, and it can still be great and it can still be a funny joke. But if you are also just randomly throwing these out of the nowhere,
yeah,
like if you drop like a super silly, absurdist joke out of nowhere,
yeah,
you know, like I love it personally. And I think it works better because you're keeping the audience on their heels a little bit. You know, they don't know, you know, and a big part of that is also in like delivery and you know, if all of your jokes are short one-liners, you know, unless you are as good a writer as like Dave Attell has such a specific rhythm.
Right.
You know, bump, right. Bump, 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 bump. And like all of his jokes work for the most part, fall into it, but he's such a strong writer that they still work. Yep. But if he was not as strong a writer, people would start to get lulled into this monotone thing of like, oh, it's the same rhythm over and over again. So,
yeah,
but yeah, that's where we are on it. I don't know if anyone else out there is maybe getting tired of personal material and they want to go back to like, you guys, what's the deal with? Y'all seen this? Y'all know this?
I just love a young audience hissing at Seinfeld type jokes.
Oh my God. Again, like I'm just waiting for a bunch of emails like, you're an insane person, we don't hear this at all. You're just bombing, old man. That's just the sound of bombing.
This is the first step to dementia. Like, someone sends you a WebMD mm-hmm. page.
Sure. I accept Here's my fate. That's why. Auditory hallucinations. Yeah. Again, when I started noticing it in other people's clips, then I was like, it's not just me. I'm not projecting this on myself.
That is incredible. I won't be able to unhear it.
Yes, I've now cursed you. It's like the ring. Thank you, everybody, for checking out this episode of the podcast. We have a lot of fun doing it. And Thad was actually asking me how the podcast was going. I was like, it's great. I just get to hang out with one of my best friends. And we just chit-chat for an hour. It's super fun. And we're very happy that other people out there are enjoying it. I'm going to throw something out. I've not run this past Dwight, but I'm going to put this out there. Maybe this is a manifestation. I think we would like to take the podcast to a comedy festival. If we have anyone listening who's producing comedy festivals that have live episodes of the podcast, I think Dwight and I would be open to that, you know, possibility. If we're available that weekend and, you know, you have the Taco Bell budget, you know, we would be down for that, because I think it would be fun to do a live episode of the podcast. And we're not those types of comics that we're going to book ourselves on our own goddamn festival.
Oh, but good. Could you imagine?
Yeah. You opening imagine? Night of Limestone in the theater, in the 600 seat theater. It's Matt and Dwight just might.
And then opening for Roy Wood Jr. on the Sunday. It's Matt and Dwight, and they're also opening every other show.
Yep. 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 There's some of those festivals out there, but we're not going to do that. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for checking it out. We will see you next time on Matt and Dwight Just Might.